very good morning to one and all, and a very special good morning to the graduates. Let me first of all congratulate the graduates for satisfying the requirements of their respective schools, and that's the requirement for graduation. And in the same breath, I would like to commend the leaders of this church for honoring and recognizing these students for the work they have done. I would be remiss if I left out the parents, the mothers and the fathers, who have given commitment beyond description. I mean, working late at night with these kids to ensure that the homeworks were completed and they were done well, and making sure they are up in the mornings to be at school on time, in order for these kids to do very well at school. And last but not least, the teachers who have been given yeoman service, who sometimes are not recognized. They are the unsung heroes. I want to pay special tribute to the teachers this morning. When I looked at the group this morning of graduates, I tried to look back at my days when I graduated. I was very fortunate. I had about 3 graduations, but they were all after I was at the age of 18. So I was nowhere near any of these kids. This morning, I would like to share a few thoughts with the graduates and the audience in general. These are not just merely my opinion, but these I would want to hope would reflect the priorities of God. As we celebrate the achievements and success of these, our children, we should not take for granted the input that God has in all of the success. We ought to take note of the memory of these kids, their interest in reading, their imagination. We need to look at their passion and desire for learning. And I believe that these are gifts from God, and we should not take them for granted. And I want to refer to the graduates at this time. They should be used to glorify God. As we celebrate their success this morning, we also need to take note of their academic success. That's a blessing. And that too, we need to use to the glory of God. Quite a number of individuals in the Bible have excelled academically. And for the sake of time, I'll mention maybe 2 or so. We think of guys like Solomon. We think of guys like Paul. But in all instances, these men have used their academic excellence to serve God, to bring glory to God's name. And this morning, I want to encourage from the least to the greatest of us here this morning to use our blessings from God to glorify him. If we turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it speaks explicitly. Each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in his various forms. Christlikeness should be the hallmark of the young people today. It should not only be the hallmark, but the standard and objective of the young people today. Christlikeness. It is something that we tend to put on the back burner, even some of us parents, in our pursuit for education. We spend so much time focusing on the academic that we sometimes forget the Christlikeness. Sometimes we even forget to have devotion with the kids, because we are so focused on making sure that these children do well academically. But Christlikeness should be the hallmark. We should put a lot of emphasis on Christ-likeness. It should be the standard and the objective of parents as well as students. I'm going to be focusing on the priorities that I mentioned earlier on in my introduction. And if you have your pen and your note, you could work along with me. The first of these priorities is knowing God more. Knowing God more. And if we turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus." How from infancy. And if you notice, from infancy, infancy seems to suggest somewhere below the age of 6 years old. And I am not too familiar with the age of these kids here, but they are infants. And what the Lord is saying, what Peter is saying this morning, is that from the earliest possible age, the Word of God should be given preeminence in their lives. The Word of God should be given preeminence in the life of infants. Some of us are saying that kids are too young to understand the Word of God. That's not true. That's not true. Peter is saying here to us this morning that we ought to give it the importance it deserves in the lives of kids. In fact, I believe that no student's life is complete if he has got some sort of godliness in his life, his or her life. I made a strange discovery this past week. In preparation for this presentation, I decided to go on the websites to see, look at the curriculum of the schools across the state, and to see if there was some sort of an idea I could glean from it to be a part of my presentation. And I found it interesting that there was nothing about religion, or in particular, Christianity. And I said, wow, can you imagine? God has been left out of the whole program of the schools. Absolutely nothing about Christianity at all, nothing about religion. And I'm saying, kids who are born in this sort of environment, we have to be very careful, because they could go along aimlessly and end up with an education and without God. Another Peter spoke further on in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, "Like newborn babes, crave for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." And if you notice these two words, babes and infants, there's an emphasis on young children hearing the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. It's very, very important. And I myself, being a parent, and I know quite a few parents around me who have not put the sort of emphasis that we ought to place on godliness in education. Godliness in education is very, very important. As we grow older, we tend to want to make decisions on our own. And if God is not a part of that decision, we tend to go off in directions that are not desirable. And so I encourage our graduates today that as they grow up, even from infancy, that they give godliness priority. Another of the desires that graduates should be given serious consideration is that of serving God more. Serving God more. You ask yourself, what can young kids like these do for God at this age? There's a whole lot to be done. And it starts even at the Sunday school level. Their commitment is a part of service. How committed are we to come to Sunday school? How committed are we to be here on time? How committed are we to learn our memory verses? These are all a part of serving at this age. How committed are we to invite someone to Sunday school? These are areas in which our graduates can serve quite well. First, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, sums up this importance quite well. It says, So if you faithfully obey the commands that I'm giving you today, to love your God and to serve him with all your heart and with your soul, then I will send rain and I'll provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. True satisfaction comes through serving God. I tell you this today, there's nothing that any of us in this room can do today that is more important than doing something for God. That's the only thing that will have lasting effect. Serving God is very, very important. And we should never allow our youthful days. The scripture tells us youth is a time to serve the Lord. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Now is the time that we need to be thinking seriously about how we can serve God at this stage. We can impact the world even at this stage. We want to see our kids serving God by coming up here and singing in the mornings. We need to see our kids learn to play the instruments and serving God in those areas. So I encourage parents who are here today to encourage our kids not only to do the academics. That's good, very, very good. But also to look at areas that they can specialize in, where they can bring God glory. Serving with our talents. I do not know how many of us are aware of the fact that kids learn so much easier through singing. And if you go to the schools, you'll find out that a lot of singing takes place in the school. But when you go to the churches, you find out not very many kids are singing. Or put another way, not very many kids are using their talents for God. They possess many artistic abilities, but very little is being done for the Lord. I'm going to encourage our graduates today to use their artistic abilities, drama, singing, whatever it is you can do, do it to bring glory to God. These are areas that you can serve the Lord in as you go through this phase of your life. You know, many people think that graduation is the end of your educational sojourn. That's not true. In fact, during my reading this past week, I realized that in the States here, they call this service the commencement service. What that says, it's the start. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And some people believe that you can never ever graduate because you're always learning. Luke's Gospel chapter 12 and verse 48 also highlights the importance of serving. It says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be required. With success comes responsibility. Not very many students are graduating across the world today. In fact, not all students will graduate. So you who are graduates today, you have a responsibility. People are looking forward to you to lead. Graduates ought to be leaders. You're going to be showing the examples for others to follow. So remember, service with excellence is key. Another of the desire which I think our graduates should bear in mind is that of loving people more. Loving people more. And that word, as I said this morning, is an overworked word, to the point that there isn't any definition for it. Loving. And a number of Bible characters speak about loving. But Paul is one who I admire in his presentation about love. If you look at Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10, he says, and in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Folks, we have not yet started love. And I'm going to encourage our graduates to start to show love. There are so many people out there who are not experiencing love. Sometimes we tend to feel that when we graduate, we have arrived. And there's a line of demarcation between ourselves and those who have not achieved what we have achieved. I'm going to suggest to us today that we don't think that way. When you graduate, try to pull someone along with you. When you are graduate, try to make people, those who are behind, feel as if they're a part of. Don't see yourself as being different or super and the other person inferior. There's that feeling. It happens. I'm telling you. I'm in the classroom quite a while now, and I've seen it, where people who feel that they have excelled, they no longer see those people who are left behind as their friends. I'm going to suggest today, to you today that if you have your friends who were back in the school you left or in the class you left, I'm going to suggest that as people with Christ-like qualities, that we give them special attention. Make them feel loved. Make them feel as if they too have succeeded. We need to show love more. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, and in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." How many of us do this really and truly? If we are honest with ourselves, we don't do that. Very few, if any at all. I'm going to ask that we are going to make the difference this time around. We're going to be touching the world by making people feel special, showing interest in the lives of people. People are going to say, "Where are you from?" "I'm from right here, but I'm going to be different. I'm going to start show people what it means to really love. I'm going to be making available my resources to you, my time, my energy, my money, whatever you have. Make people feel as if they are loved." Sometimes we ask ourselves the question, why we have such a high crime rate? And why such a high crime rate among juveniles? You'd be surprised to know that the highest level of animosity and hatred is in the schools. Because in the schools, there's this peer pressure. People feel that I am in Mr. Jones's and the Mr. Brown's and Mr. White and Mr. Yellow. And right there, these groups, these classes, that create a sort of difference. And there's conflict with something I'm not seen until you are at, they are by themselves at a very awkward place. I'm going to suggest to us today, folks, that we start showing interest in others, putting ourselves behind and putting others before us. And if we do that, not only will we be impacting people for this earth, but I think we'll do it for eternity. As we serve people, we could not think about, could not leave out our parents. There is a tendency among individuals who graduate sometimes to lose respect for people, and sometimes even their parents. Some people believe that because they have reached a stage to work, they have become so independent that they have grown out their parents and their family members. I'm saying to you, please love your parents more now. Love your family members more now. The Bible tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Never ever feel for a moment that because I have succeeded academically, because I am now earning for myself, I can address my parents anyhow. Or it gives me the authority and the power to walk in my door, through the door, any time of the night. No. Let us continue to love our parents and respect them. This package of desires would not be complete if I left out trusting. Trusting, the desire to trust God more. The desire to trust God more. So we have knowing God more, serving God more, loving people more. and trusting God more. You know, that's another word that people, there's a lot of synonyms for trusting. We can use the word faith. We can use the word confidence, you know, in trusting. If I ask you this morning, if any of you look under the chair that you sat on before you sat, I doubt any of you did. It means that you place your faith in the chair. You trusted the chair that it would keep you up, you'd not fall. So you walked in here this morning, and without checking, you sat in that chair. If I ask you when you drive across the bridge, if you stop your car and look under to see how secure the pillars were, none of you would have done that. But you drove across with the confidence that you'll go across safely. Now, this is the sort of trusting we need to have in our God. Whenever we're going to do something, graduates, we should not wait until we are midstream that we say, Lord, what is your thoughts on the matter? We should consult him first. Our faith in God should be so solid. You know, we shouldn't have any doubts about whether or not he can do it. The God who we serve is a God of possibilities. In fact, you being here today is a testimony to that. It's a testimony. You being able to go through school and being successful is a testimony of our faith in God. The prayers of our parents being answered. We going to school safely without any accidents. We are in our right minds. There are so many blessings that we have prayed for, our students, our children, and God has answered our prayers. And so I ask you to continue to trust God. Joshua, a man of God who trusted God greatly, in chapter 1 and verse 9 writes, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Solomon reiterates the point in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Today, I ask the graduates to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And don't use it as a part-time occupation. Make that a habit. Where the Lord, he feels important when he knows that he is consulted first in all matters. That's the attitude we ought to have, consulting the Lord God in everything we do first. I think he feels honored when we do that. Today, what would be the prayers of this church is that we grow in humility, that we grow in grace, that we grow in knowledge of God. I think that would be the prayer of this church. As we go off to college, those of us who are going to college, my prayer is that you're going to be meeting people for the very first time. You might have what is called new roommates, people you have never met before with different backgrounds. I pray that as you go into these situations, that you'll take God with you. And that your roommates and those with whom you rub shoulder with will know very soon that you are a part of the family of God. Do not wait for the end of the first year. It might be too difficult to establish at that time. Do it now. Make it known that you're a part of the family of God. Those of us who are moving up in the high school system, you're going to be facing challenges. You have bullies in school. You have kids in school who don't want to see you succeed. They're going to try to distract your attention from the positive things. I'm going to say, remain a leader. Stand firm for the things that are godly. Stand firm for the things that are right. And if you do that, these students will respect you. And before long, they'll want to be like you. The small kindergarten kids, I want to tell you that you too should trust God. You need to spend a lot of time studying your memory verses, compete with each other to see who can learn the verse first. Compete with each other to see who can learn the verse first. And if we all have this goal in mind, that of wanting to know God more, serve God more, loving people more, and trusting God more, we can go out into this world and make an impact on the society. And not only that, we'll help to lead others to know Christ as Savior. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. These are my words to you, for Christ's sake.